First, acknowledgement of a country. Council acknowledges the traditional custodians of the land at which the meeting is held and pays its respect to elders both past and present, and extends that respect to other Aboriginal people who are present. I'd like everybody with mobile phones to please turn them off.
Just a reminder to councillors and members of the public, of course, that council does record these meetings. They are published on council's website in the days following the meeting.
Call for apologies and absence of leave. Anybody got?
Mr Mayor, Councillor Brady has submitted an apology in relation to this meeting.
Can I move? Councillor Dillon, Councillor Shinton, those in favour? Carried unanimously. Confirmation minutes of the meeting held on the 16th of July. A mover? Councillor Hill, Councillor Shitton. Anything discussed in the minutes?
Look, it's just a little waypoint. Mr Mayor, but we were discussing, I haven't got the item in front of me because my iPad's down, but the naming of the lane in Binaway, and one of the options we had was Naseby Lane, and I have a correspondent in Binaway who's contacted me to tell me that Binaway was originally called Naseby. So I just thought I'd put that out there for general consumption and edification.
The motion, carried unanimously. Those of interest, pecuniary and non-pecuniary interest. Mover. Councillor Doolan, seconder. Councillor Hill. Put the motion, those in favour. Carried unanimously. Mayoral minute, item number one. I'll move that one. Councillor Doolan, seconder. Any comments on this item? The motion, those in favour. Carried unanimously. Item two, Councillor's monthly travel claims. Councillor Shinton, seconder Councillor Hill. Discussion. I put the motion. Those in favour. Hello. Carried unanimously.
I can't get my iPad to work, Mr. Mayor. So.
Carried unanimously. Item three. Meeting minutes of the ordinary Arana Joint Organisation meeting held on the 13th of July. Can I move up? Councillor Shenton. Councillor Hill. Comments on this item? Anybody got any comment? I'll put the motion, those in favour. And carried unanimously. Item four, minutes of the Robertson Oval Committee. Held on the 15th of July, Councillor Hill, seconder. Councillor Cable, any comments on this item?
I was just
Councillor Doolan.
Wondering if, I was going to ask Councillor Brady if he was here, but ask Director Ty, if we could, possibly, then the concept plans for the B BMX-style track on the disused basketball courts. Was that possible for some of that money to develop that, to come out of that?
Councillor Dillon, you're on the wrong one.
On the wrong one?
Robertson Oval.
Eddie, sorry. Ah, I've jumped ahead. Sorry about that.
comments wrong on page. Any comments to this item?
No.
I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Council, unanimously. Minutes of the Coonabarabran Sporting Complex. Councillor Dillon. Councillor Clancy.
Mr. Mayor, just before we get into that one, might be, I've just asked Mr. Tai just to provide a bit of an update on that recommendation, just so it's a little bit clearer as to where we're going with that.
Thank you, Mr. General Manager, and through you, Mr. Mayor. The so this recommendation reflects the wishes of the committee, and Council will recall that in through the Drought Communities Fund Extension 2 program, I think back in October or November, Council resolved to allocate $100,000 of that from that program towards refurbishment, just a general description of the project called refurbishment of the old basketball courts. So, and that was on the basis of a submission, and that submission had a number of features attached to that general description of refurbishment. So, and Council will recall that in the July meeting, Council resolved to send back or seek advice from the committee about that project and look at other features that would be beneficial at that site. So this recommendation before you reflects that. It does seem to move away from the general description of the project as refurbishment of the old basketball courts, but I think the intent was to refurbish with a variety of features, and I think that the recommendation before you reflects that intention. I believe, though, that some approval for a variation would be needed from the funding body.
Any more comments on this?
So, councillors, we'd just like to update the resolution just to reflect that this is going to be a changed funding application. So, within this resolution, we'll just require that wording, if that's okay with the councillors.
Councillor Hill. Second to Councillor Dillon. Any more comments? I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Please. Carried unanimously. Item 6, traffic minutes of Traffic Advisory Committee meeting. Councillor Shinton, the seconder, Councillor Hill. Any comments on this item? Put the motion. Those in favour? Carried unanimously. Minutes of the Coonabarabran Town Beautification Advisory Committee meeting held on August 5th. Mover, Councillor Doolan. Seconder, Councillor Nutzi. Do you second that? Yeah, right, yeah. Pass this item. Anybody wants any discussion? I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Carried unanimously. Item number 8, minutes of the Plant Advisory Committee. Mover? Mover?
That's okay.
Table? Any discussion on this item?
Well, just a comment, Mr. Mayor, for it is over budget, the spending on that meeting there the other day, but we sort of move ahead to, or look ahead to item 19 in the council meeting today. We see that we've got a 350% increase in road spending, and one of the decisions that was taken at that plant meeting was not to trade in one of the water trucks on a new water truck, because that truck might be of use with this vastly increased road maintenance work we've got coming ahead, and then it'll be traded in after that, or sold, disposed of after that. So that's a bit of an explanation for the over budget situation that arose from that meeting on the 6th of August.
No comments on this item. Motion, those in favour? Carried. Fred? Carried. Yep. Carried unanimously. Item 9.
Mr. Mayor, just if we could just amend the agenda for a moment, and just if we could have your indulgence and move to item 21, 22 and 23 of the agenda, if that's okay with council, just so we can allow a staff member to move on.
Councillor Doolan, seconder, Councillor Hill. I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Carried unanimously.
The first one there, Mr. Mayor, is item number 21.
Item 21, drinking water management system improvement, July 20 update. Mover, Councillor Hill, Councillor Lewis. Any comments on this item? Councillor Lewis. Any comment, Ray? Any comment? You put your hand up for comment.
No, I didn't.
Nobody with any comments, I'll put the motion. Carried unanimously. Item 22, Mandoran Water Quality Incident Review Report. Mover, Councillor Hill. Seconder, Councillor Doolan. Any comments on this item? Councillor Doolan.
Yeah, through you, Mr. Mayor. I was after a bit of some more information on recommendation 4, 5 and 6, if we could. For 4 and 5, it's the funded upgrade concept is progressing. Funding for the next phase of design and construction is uncertain. That's for 4 and 5, and I was just wanting a bit of a guide on how we could progress it if the funding for the design and construction is uncertain. And then recommendation 6, council hasn't had a suitable dedicated officer for an extended amount of time. What's the situation there?
Ms. Weebles, can you handle 4 and 5 for us, please?
Yep.
believe I had provided within another report information about the DPIE and Safe and Secure Water Program risk prioritization advice. So they have assessed of all 93 water utilities within New South Wales, they have assessed the risks of their systems with regard to water quality, sewage and water security. Mendoon water quality was also assessed, and it was assessed as having a high risk rating, which is 5, which means it's potentially eligible for further funding under the remaining funds of the Safe and Secure Water Program. So we have received this funding under that same program for the concept design phase. The next phase, obviously, once this is complete, would be for the design and construction. They have advised that the remaining funds will be distributed only for the highest priorities, and because they won't have enough to address all high priorities within New South Wales, they're going to prioritise further by looking at the social economic disadvantages ranking. So our council ranked quite high. I believe that's about place 11 out of 93. So it's likely that having a high risk ranking for this one, there will be further funding. We had a meeting with DPI on the 7th of August, and they advised the week after that they would have a technical review panel where they would provide some recommendations or come up with recommendations to the minister which of the high-ranking local water utilities would or should receive further funding. They will then make a recommendation to the minister, and they were hoping that within 2 weeks the minister will make a decision, and then they could approach local water utilities and councils. So we're hoping to hear something back by the end of August if any of our schemes, including Mendoon, will receive further funding.
Well, thanks for that. That's reassuring. And then just to comment on the rest of it's really quite a comprehensive and informative report that you put together, and it's a big help.
In relation to item number 6, we had someone lined up to come. They were in the throes of organising accommodation, things like that. This was around the start of COVID and then pulled out, so we're looking at alternatives at this point in time.
Oh, thank you for that.
Motion, those in favour. Carried unanimously. Back,
Item number 23, Mr. Mayor.
Item number 23, Barradine Camp Cypress and Showground Sewer Connection Update. Councillor Doolan, second to Councillor Hill. Comments on this item? Put the motion, those in favour. Councillor Lewis, carried unanimously.
So that then takes us back to item number 9, Mr. Mayor.
Item number 9, we've got to move back. Got to move back.
Straight there.
We get back to item number 9, Local Government Annual Conference. Over. Councillor Shenton, Councillor Hill. Item.
Not at this point, Mr. Mayor. That's all good.
Put the motion, those in favour.
Who's going to it?
Who's going?
We'll consider the attendees at the October meeting. At this point in time, we're booking space for 4 people to attend.
Yeah.
Question 3, Mr. Mayor. How are they going to run this?
They're going to run it.
It doesn't make sense. So, if you get the normal attendance at this conference, it's I don't know if the venue's big enough, but anyway. It's not up to me, is it?
It's a bit off myself.
Remarks.
Motion, those in favour. Okay. Number three. Item number 10, Office of Local Government Report, S43 report. And mover. Second, Councillor Dolan. Any comments on this item?
Mr. Mayor, I can't get my head around how we've councillors have been talked down and blamed and behaved badly when I think the action of councillors in respect to that skip bin tender was exemplary and were the ones that pulled it into gear and made it happen and made the wishes of the public take place, whereas before we had staff dictating to the public what was going to happen and not doing it quietly either, doing it quite openly and brazenly. And this is the way it's going to happen, and the petitions that people were putting in and stating were being disallowed and denied to the point where, as a private citizen, I had a member of staff ring me up and tell me I was telling lies, saying that people were complaining about the situation at the tips. And that wasn't the case. There was petitions coming into council to the contrary. And at the end of the report, us councillors, the ones that did things wrong. I just can't get my head around that.
Comments on this item? Councillor Shinton.
Oh, sorry, through you, Mr. Mayor. The recommendation is that the Mayor, Deputy Mayor and General Manager are developing a mentoring program. What do you got in mind?
Oh, well, I certainly have my thoughts, but... and I haven't had detailed conversations with the Mayor and Deputy Mayor, but Council seems to have grown a relationship with Mr. Fleming, who's doing performance reviews for myself, and I think the councillors have appreciated the advice that he's been providing, so I'd be looking to include him in on part of this and providing advice or being there to mentor if need be. That's my thoughts, but up to the others with theirs as well.
My thoughts are that we should do the minimum we have to because this program, and I've made that point clear before, I told the Minister the same. However, some mentoring and education is never a bad thing, so whilst my intention, if I'm still Deputy Mayor, would be to keep it minimal, same time we'll make it as practical as we can, and I would agree with Roger that Graham Fleming is a good option to consider, but we should be transparent and get quotes and ideas from all nine of us rather than just dive headlong as a group of three. So whilst this says Mayor, Deputy Mayor, General Manager, it would still be my intention to be listening to the rest of you to see what you want and think. Now, the other thing to keep in mind is that we are going to vote for a Mayor and Deputy Mayor in a few weeks' time, and I don't see that there's any value in the three of us at the moment doing anything immediately until such time as we get that election done next month, because the new Mayor and Deputy Mayor may have very different ideas from the current Mayor and Deputy Mayor.
Abel.
I agree with everything that was just said, but I'd like to add, I think the focus should definitely be on the next council, because otherwise you could be wasting a lot of money on people not running next time around.
What do you mean, the next council or the next after next month?
Next council. The bare minimum required up until the end of this council, but there's effectively only 12 months to go, and the odds are we will have a lot of new councillors who have very limited experience in this space. They are the ones that would definitely need the support to get going.
Just to remind councillors that it was actually part of council submission to start with that it be applied to the new councillors, but the deferral of the elections has kind of put an end to that for the time being. So the Office of Local Government and Minister will be looking for something to occur in the meantime. I appreciate the approach that the council is wanting to make, and that can certainly be incorporated into what the program looks like. The submission also put forward that, you know, we develop a fairly solid program for the new councillors coming in.
We'll discuss that, Councillor Doolan.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Mayor. Well, I'd like to be involved in some mentoring in my role as a councillor, because the Section 430 report outlined that the councillors have a limited role in the tendering process, and I'd like them to tell me a bit more about how all that works, because they seem to take umbrage at councillors looking behind the assumptions in the matrix for the recommendation for the Big Bin tender, which is a contract that's had no complaints and is running quite well, and we took the matrix at face value for the Dunning Do shambles, didn't ask anything behind the questions, we took at face value the advice that we were given, and look where that's got us. So whereabouts on the continuum should we be? Should we be activist or sit back passively and take the advice? So if they can clear that up for me, I think that would be make my role a bit more defined, and I think that would help me in my role as a councillor, that's for sure. No, you're sort of rolling over the Section 430 report too much. I don't think it was that fair. And I think that I dislike about it the most, I think it's a frozen look back in time. And things had changed a lot by the time the report came, but they're still sort of harking back to things, how things were. And I think as a governing body and as a council, I think we've all sort of learnt and moved on, and that's not really acknowledged in their report. So that's just one other criticism that I've got of it. But back to the mentoring part, or education, or whatever you want to call it, I'll be all for that.
Motion, those in favour? Carried. Item 11, Council Resolution Report. Mover? Councillor Clancy? Seconder? Councillor Lewis? Any discussion on this item? Motion, those in favour? Carried unanimously. Item 12, Rerates and High Value Project Report. Mover, Councillor Shedden. Seconder, Councillor Hill. Any comments on this item?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. This is a really confusing report. I had a phone call from the Director today to answer some of the questions that I had, but it's funny how some things stick in your mind, and I remember in the July report it said that the Binaway Hall had expenditure of $11,885 in the July report. That is, we're looking at the August one now, but in this August report it's not there, and I was going to ask it at the last meeting, because it says that the whole thing was acquitted in 2018-19, but then suddenly another expenditure occurs, and now it's mysteriously disappeared out of this one, so it's obviously a living document, there's no doubt about that. I also noted that there was in that first lot there, the Drought Communities Fund, it says there that 366,201 was revoted. 187,790 was spent. So what happened to the rest of it? Did we give it back? I only noticed this after I'd spoken to the director this afternoon. I started to look at this document and I thought, geez, you know, there's some strange things in here, because it doesn't say what we did with it. I assume we handed it back, or did we? And then going a bit further down, there is, and this is the stronger country communities round two, and when it comes to Binaway Bowling Club, it says that, I find this hard to read, project completed, approval has been granted to spend savings from 5Xs, but it doesn't say what the 5Xs are. So if this is a report to us, do we know yet what the 5Xs represents, or is this just something that we submit to the people and to the councillors? So they're the first two questions. But as it went on, I noticed that there were two reports. The other thing you notice about these reports is that they're all in different formats, so you can't immediately read from one to the other. And it gets worse, because wait till you get to item 13, it changes again to a different format completely. So if this is trying to help councillors understand what's going on, we are sadly lacking here. Now, I noticed there's, as I went on, there are some things in this Revotes High Value report here, and compared to this one. Some make it into here, some don't, which I find really confusing. And some of the amounts suddenly change. I noticed that the Cobra Transition Fund, that stays exactly the same. Info Export, no, is it? That one's point-to-point Wi-Fi. Everything stays the same there. But then you turn over the page, and there's one here, Dunedoo, Wallaroo Street Drainage. Yeah, that was the one. And it is has a revote of, $689,000, expenditures of $555,000, and a revote amount of $134,000. But when you go to this report on the same project, it has exactly $789,000 was revoted. Same expenditure, $555,000, but the final figure is $234,000, so it's $100,000 more than in this report. And then there was item two. There's only five, so if you just bear with me.
If I could just perhaps cut you off there, Councillor, because the answer will be very similar for everything.
Okay.
If you're comparing the revotes report from 2018-19 to the revotes report of 19-20, which is getting carried forward from 19-20 into 2021, first of all, the 18-19 report just simply deals with the carryover votes from 18-19 to 19-20. So this is going to be the last of those reports for that particular year, and then we'll start into a new reporting format, which is the item 13 items for the current financial year. So because you're dealing with two different years there, that's possibly where there's the confusion. So we're just transferring from one year to the next year, or transitioning from one year to the next year.
So which one are we voting for? Which revotes are we?
Well, at this point in time, the item 12 is dealing with the 18-19 revotes, and then in item 13, that will be the 19-20 revotes through to 2021.
Could a person assume that we are talking the same projects in these two that are in this report?
Same projects, but different amounts.
In other words, high-value, high-risk rebates.
Well, no. High-value, high-risk is a thing that has come out of internal audit. That was a request from the Internal Audit Committee that we start dealing with those.
Yep.
And that is putting forward larger projects, which generally larger projects, where they can go on for several years. They have a high value to council, so most of those projects are in the millions of dollars, and they're entire projects, not just a one financial year item. And it's indicating where we are travelling with that. Now, this is the first report of that we're doing, and there will be a little bit of refining of this going forward, but that's picking up 12 to 15 projects that council would like to, I would imagine council wants to pay particular attention to into the future.
So which are the revotes?
Well, the revotes in item 12.
These are hundreds of thousands of dollars difference to these ones.
Yes, and they will be.
How did that happen? How did that happen? When did we revote that?
Well, I was just saying, The item 12 is dealing with those rebates that went from 18-19 through the 18-19 through to 19-20. And item 13 is dealing with the close off of the 30th of June 2020 numbers and bringing those forward through to 2021. There is no comparison to be made there with those numbers at this point in time that comes to mind for me. Mr. Parker may clarify that a little, but it's simply 18-19 is what was carried forward as a 30th of June 2019.
Well, can we figure out what happened to the $11,885 that was spent on the Binaway Hall in July but then disappears out of this one in August?
Mr. Parker, do you have advice on that, or do you want to take that on notice?
With the number of questions coming, I'd like to take that on notice. Thank you, Mr. Mann.
Item 13. Item 13, budget rebates as of 30th of June 2020.
Move.
Now, Councillor Shinton. Second of Councillor Lewis.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. The, this is the new format that we're going to have from now on.
It won't be the new format, because that is just indicating to you how the total was come to. We'll go to a simpler format going forward.
I think our budget used to be $40 million. It's approached $50 million this year. With these rebates, be $60 million. If we can't spend $40 million, and we haven't been able to spend $50 million, what chances are we going to have of spending $60 million? And some of these rebates, you've got dates here that say this is 18-19, but some of these rebates go back to way before that. These have just been going on and on and on, and we upgrade them. I'd like to see a list here that says this was first thought of in 2014-15, we revoted it every year to now we're getting up to 2021, and they're still not spent. So at what stage are we going to say enough's enough? You know, like, this has been carried forward. I'm not sure of this figure, but I recognise these year after year, the same chestnuts are still there and we haven't spent them. So I'd like to know, what guarantee are we going to have that we can handle the budget that we are revoting into, especially with the work that we know that the technical services are going to have with all this road funding? Have we got a hope in hell of doing what we're proposing in these rebates?
To start off with, I'm not so sure about your maths about $60 million project, because you're actually doubly, as I can see it, you're double accounting in there somewhere. Now, I don't recall the number, but I think it was about $7.5 million that we carried forward from 18-19 through the 19-20. Now, going through those items, the significant items there were obviously the TRRRC, which is an item which was, $1.23 million. Now, that was an item that Council is fully aware of, knows exactly where it's at, and understands why that money has not been spent. So that accounts for $1 million of that. Then there are other items there, like some of the water projects, which, yes, we have been carrying forward, but those projects are actually completed, and we've actually got applications in to vary the funding to allow us to spend that money on other projects. Now, if you want, you can just say, well, I'm done with it. Let's hand the remainder of that money back, because it is now completed. As far as some other projects are concerned there, I've not been at a council yet which has completed its full program every single year. There's always that carryover around, particularly around projects that won't finish at 30th of June, or they are a longer term project, which we do have a number of water projects in there that will go year after year after year for some time, because they're just simply 3, 4, maybe even 5 year projects. I think so far, as far as the program is concerned, the staff have done pretty well in knocking over a lot of those projects. The amount of carryover from the previous year to last year was significantly lower than lower. I think it was about $5 or $6 million lower than what was the previous year. Now, you are right that we are going into a very difficult period where there are a lot of projects before us, and there is a proposal in here tonight to deal with some of that. So we're doing the best we can at this point in time, and I think the staff should be congratulated to a fair degree for some of the projects that have been knocked over in this time.
You're the one who has carriage of this, so
yes.
If you're happy with this, then probably I am too.
Passion design item. Councillor Dolan.
Yes, through you, Mr. Mayor, to Director Parker. If we just look at the attachment number 2, the operating projects re-votes listing. The 2204, the youth activities, and see, we used some of the funds for the Warrumbungle Goose Chase, but there's still $130,000 of unexpended funds. I was just wondering what ideas you might have been contemplating for putting that to the best use.
Yes, Mr. Mayor, in regards to this this particular project, it was first put up as under the Stronger Country Community funding because it had a longer time frame. This money is to be spent by March next year. The Goose Chase part is a small part of the overall project. It was when the COVID-19 started, it did stop some of the initial workshops that we were planning to set up straight away. So one of the objectives of this project is relate around mental health support for young people and setting skilling for younger people towards their skilling up for progress in getting a job pathways into the future. And so there are some parts of it. There are three main elements to it. There's courses that are being arranged for driver's licenses, like were done in Garadena a few years ago. There are things like the barista type of courses. There's responsible service of alcohol. Those sorts of parts form components of this overall $150,000. If that gives you an idea of what we're trying to do with it. There's also elements to deal with leadership training in the various youth across the shire. But overall, it's a mixture of elements to bring about meeting the requirements of the drought community funding.
Well, through you, Mr. Mayor, thank you for that. That's good. You've got some good ideas in there.
No comment. comments?
Yeah, through you, Mr. Mayor, on that same item, when we discussed this initially, we were looking at the training courses for the older age group, and going backhoe drivers, tickets, skid steer loader tickets, and things like that, similar to the program that was running in Gilgandra. Is anyone looking at those sort of programs, or has that gone by the wayside? Because that was what we talked about when we first scoped this program out, and the only reason why we gave it the amount of support that we did was because we lost the impetus that Gilgandra had started, especially with the Inland Rail coming and probably the bypass in the future. But it gave some of these people a ticket at least that they could come to council or come to private operators and have some skill that they could offer to them. Are we looking at anything like that?
There's no reason why we can't add those things as we go along. The target group when the project was put together was youth up to 24 years old. And once we get through the what I would call some of the basics, I think there will be room to actually run such things that Councillor Shinton has mentioned. I don't know the demand for those at present, but I'm hoping that the funds will stretch to cover off and meet the requirements of building local pathways for our younger people.
Excellent. Thank you.
Thanks on this item. Put the motion. Those in favour? Carried unanimously. Item 14, review of procurement policy recommendation. Seconder? Councillor Nuzzi. Any discussion on this item?
Policy.
Well, just again, Mr. Mayor, it's suggestion four, back to my bugbear. It says I want to be told more about this. It's got the, from that section 430 report, back to the limited role of councillors should be clearly defined. And it's great. So I'm just really looking forward to this so-called mentoring, just to get right to the bottom of what this limited role is supposed to be. Because yes, there seems to be no pleas in that regard. And then just a comment on. Suggestion seven, I think it is, about record keeping. Just make the comment that we've made inquiries about the staff who were in charge of making the recommendations on the based on the matrix for the Dunny Doo, and which would seem their recommendations weren't ideal, and our records aren't in such a state that we can find out who they were. So I think the suggestion there to up our standards with record keepings is probably a good one too.
More discussion on this item? Motion. I'll put the motion. Carried unanimously. Item 15, draft debt recovery and financial hardship policy. A mover? Councillor Doolan. Seconder, Councillor Hill. Any discussion of those items?
Yeah, just in the policy, from the attachments there, I think we've been through this before, if you'll correct me if I'm wrong. I think, Director Parker, you might be able to help me. We just say, council may endeavour to contact ratepayers. And I think we've been down this road before where we can change that to will endeavour. Because I think in these tough times, I think we have to deal with people with a bit of humanity. And if people are doing it tough for one reason or another and they get behind and want to bury their head in the sand, I think we should make every endeavour to make some contact with them before we sue the lawyers onto them. And I've sort of had it explained to me that the staff find that an uncomfortable job to do, and possibly that's correct, but if we if we've got an external company that do the debt collection on our behalf, I think if they're instructed that they're to make every effort to contact the person by telephone or somehow or other before the lawyers are sealed onto them, I think that's got to be done. And I just thought we'd been down this road before.
So, Councillor Doolan, you're moving that with that change?
I would like to do that, yes, Mr. General Manager.
Thank you. Mr. Mayor, is Councillor Hill fine with that too?
I think it's been explained to me before that in the guidelines, that probably goes into that a bit more, but I think if it's just there in the policy, then it can't be altered without coming back here.
Any more discussion? I'll put the motion. Please. Carried unanimously. Item 16, revised draft investment policy. Can mover? Bill, Councillor Shenton. Discussion this item. Councillor Lewis?
No, I was just voting for him.
Discussion this item. I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Carried unanimously. Item 17, investment and term deposits, month, end of the month of 31st of July. Mover? Councillor Cable, second of Councillor Hill. Any recommendations? Any recommendations? I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Carried unanimously. Item number 18, Coonabarabran Administration Building Roof Replacement Project. Got a mover? Councillor Shenton, Councillor Lewis. Councillor Lewis?
Yeah, I'd like to know if there's been an independent specification drawn up for the project.
Yes, through you, Mr. Mayor. Thank you, Councillor Lewis. There's been a number of reports prepared on the existing structure and recommendations. And yes, there has been a set of drawings prepared, so by an independent consultant on the project.
So what I'm alluding to is the successful contractor and the unsuccessful contractors are all aiming at the same target. In as much as there's a set specification checklist, this is done right, that's done right, and a sign-off or procedural sign-offs during the project to make sure it's done right, unlike the building we're sitting in.
So, through Mr. Mayor, the intention now is to, subject to Council's adoption of the recommendation, to invite four contractors to submit a tender based on set of drawings and specifications for the project. With, I mean, obviously the ultimate aim is to have a roof that doesn't leak. Now, I say that because while we have a set of standard drawings and specifications, we might have a contract. One of these four contractors may suggest an alternative, and that would be brought back for council consideration when the tenders are considered. So there is an option for one of those four to put in a, what we call a non-conforming tender, if you like, or rather, perhaps better phrased, is an alternative proposal.
Okie doke, but I'll just give notice that I'll be watching it very, very closely, because no one watched the last project very closely, and the proof's in the pudding. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
When's the tenders closed, Kevin?
We're expecting to have a report back to the October council meeting with the tender submissions at that time.
Item.
Yes, through you, Mr. Mayor, to any of the directors that wanted to chime in. It's just my understanding that the upstairs part of this building has a fire safety certificate that it's not warranted. It's not fire safe. Is this project, the scope of this project with the roof, going to address that at the same time?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, No, it's not. It's simply the aim of this project is to stop the roof, stop the rainwater coming in.
Is that something we should have as a bit of a priority to address?
Ms. Ryan, are you able to shed some light on that one?
Through you, Mr. Mayor. There's been a number of items that have been resolved in relation to the fire safety concern that you're speaking of, Councillor Doolan. There is still some work to be done in that regard. Requires considerable investigation. So at this point in time, as far as I'm aware, the budget for the roof was going to stretch as far as we needed to or as far as we could to address those fire safety concerns. So I guess you just have to see how the tender for the roof comes out to see if there's enough funds available. We have addressed the immediate matters of concern, though, at this point in time, yes.
Oh, well, that's good to know, because I think my fellow councillors would probably agree, as awkward as it might have been to have a conversation about water with the people from the Office of Local Government, we don't want to be having one with the coroner. So if the place is made safe, or has been made safe, that is good, and we'll hopefully that will funds will stretch to getting it made 100% safe.
Question this item. Motion. Carried unanimously. Item 19, roadwork program. Mover, Councillor Doolan. Seconder, Councillor Shinton. This item.
Yeah, Mr. Mayor, I did have a notice of motion being pretty critical of technical services and their their utilisation factor, the amount of time that they appeared to the general ratepayer to be sitting down doing nothing, which was shown very clearly there a couple of weeks ago. We had three crews sit idle for a week. And there was work to be done. And I'll highlight the Neil Rex Road. I come across it last night after going to Fire Brigade meeting in Cooler, and it's really, really rough. And it could have been graded or those potholes fixed up 2 or 3 weeks ago when that crew sat there for a week doing nothing. We have to we've got a lot of money to spend on roads and a lot of roads to do, and that's good, but we have to get a lot more proactive in the way we're approaching these works. And I'm firmly of the belief that we should get some contractors in to assist our staff, or maybe to show our staff how to do it, because at the moment it's clear as clear that they're just not having a go.
I'd have to sorry, Councillor, I've got to disagree with you on that. The crews have been out there working quite hard, particularly of late, with the amount of work that they've had. The Neil Rex crew that you were talking about being idle, yes, there was some equipment idle, but staff were not. Those staff, because of the wet weather in that particular area, were redeployed into other areas. So I don't see staff sitting idle. They have been quite busy.
I'm referring to the plant, which costs us millions of dollars, sitting idle. If I was a contractor and had that plant and was paying payments on it, I'd go bankrupt. And that's not a lie, and that's not a made-up story.
No, I was just referring to the staff there, Councillor.
Any comments on that, Mr. Tai?
I'm not sure what the question is, Mr. Mayor. We have had times when the crews, the staff have been on leave and plant has been idle. There's no doubt about that. And that has occurred in the time frame that Councillor Lewis refers to, during the school holidays. We've had staff on leave, and it's not just one person. It's often the whole crew that's on leave. So. That's a correct statement to make.
Mr. Mayor, I made the comment to the General Mayor and I'll repeat it to the Chamber. I used to work in the coal mines and I could imagine Angelo Buda, the owner of the coal mines, reaction if I rang up and said there'd be no production tonight, boss, because the miner driver's off crook. It just wouldn't go down at all. But yet we allow it and condone it. And I think that system and that culture has got to change.
Councillor Doolan?
Yes, Mr. Mayor, I think this quantum of funds that we've been given to improve the roads within the Shire, it's a game changer. It's a big chance for us to catch up on so much work that needs to be undertaken over around the Shire. It's just such a big undertaking. I was just wondering what advice you might have on how you're going to prioritise, through you, Mr. Mayor, to the Director or to the General Manager, whoever wants to take it, how are you going to prioritise what projects you're going to undertake? Are you going to be a...
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. So, priority. Well, you're correct. On the fixing local roads, there are, I think, 9 individual projects, and so we can group some of those projects together based on area. For example, Pyamber Road and Mary Gowan Road would obviously be done one after the other by a crew that works out of either the Coonabarabran Depot or the Cooler Depot. So it's the priority is determined on location and where the crews are working and how we are able to establish the resources necessary for those roadworks projects in a road-based sources. So yeah, it's certainly an exercise that we haven't had before. We've had a number of projects, but grouping them together and moving from one to the other is with the crews as best we can. I'm not sure if that answered the question, but that's the way we're approaching it at the moment.
Councillors, Mr. Tai is working on a works program for me at the moment, and I hope to have that very soon, which outlines where what the order of projects is going to be completed in.
Do you see any, or either of you, to what what are the pitfalls and dangers of being able to complete such a big program of works? What have you got to watch out for?
Oh, there's going to be lots of things we're going to have to watch out for here. I suppose it's like a juggling act. There's going to be quite a number of balls in the air at the same time. We're just going to have to pay quite close attention to the number of balls that are in the air at that particular point in time. There are going to be things which we're going to have to say no to. We're going to have to prioritise, in my view, we're going to have to prioritise these projects over some other things. So there might be some things that councillors and residents may not be happy with at the time, but we're going to have to do our best to knock over as many of these, if not all of these, in the time that we have available to us.
Foreshadow what those things might be that you...
Well, certainly, as was alluded to earlier in the meeting, I think Councillor Lewis raised... No, actually, you raised it, it's retaining some equipment that we were previously going to sell, trying to get contractors in. We're going to be looking to certainly work with staff to so that they're working longer hours to get these jobs done. A whole host of coordinating activities that we're going to have to do.
Yes, well, it's...
As long as we can get contractors, I suppose.
Yes, 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 yeah. And we do have to have some good fortune, and unfortunately we've had some misfortune this week with a person, one of our employees, who we were looking to take on some work, unfortunately had a heart attack and has been rushed to hospital. So we're going to have to find... Well, we're going to have to find out how he's going, and then whether we need to replace him or he's going to come out good at the end of that.
So if you're going to, just to be in our advice in the business paper here, leaning on contractors to do some of the maintenance jobs around the place, is that going to be how's that going to mesh in with the permanent staff and the way things are permanently done? How are you looking to integrate contractors and casuals with your permanent people?
From the point of view of meshing them in, I'll leave that to Mr. Tai to talk about, but one thing I do want to put out there at this moment with councillors and the public is that we're certainly not looking at doing away with our staff in doing these jobs, and as I said a moment ago, we're certainly going to be having looking to staff to take on additional hours, so they'll be getting overtime on a regular basis during this period, I think, to get things done. Mr. Tai?
So thank you. One of the principles I'm working on is that the capital works, the additional capital works, those nine projects, as much as that, I'm hoping that most of those projects can be done by council staff for a number of reasons. And so then with those council staff, the road crews in doing those capital works are not available to do the maintenance grading. So we're looking at contractors being available to undertake up to half of the annual maintenance program. So we're looking at contractors being able to do up to 300 kilometres of maintenance grading before the end of June next year. So how that worked, a list of roads that need grading, and there's no shortage of those, and we program them in. And of course, it depends on the contractors if they're available and where they're located and where they operate out of. Do they operate out of Cooler or Dunedoo or Coonabarabran? It's early days, but that's some of the factors that will influence how they're managed and integrated, well, not integrated, but as your term, meshed with council operations.
Well, thanks for that. Yeah, so it's a...
So just a couple of comments. The Mayor and I were at a meeting with the directors with that Sam Faraway, the MLC for the area, and basically he said, if we don't spend it, we'll lose it. That's all there is to it. There's no extensions to the program. He's got a completion date, and that was that. And just commenting some years ago, I don't know if it was before Kevin's time or not, we brought in contractors to do maintenance grading, especially in that Goolai area. They didn't understand the gravels or anything like that, and we ended up with an absolute mess because they took most of our gravel off the black soil roads. They did a beautiful job. It was as smooth as silk, but didn't stand the test of time because next time it rained, because there was hardly any base there, and we had black soil roads again. So it's going to be a juggling exercise, no doubt about it.
Yes, sir, through you, Mr. Mayor. That was before my time. I've heard that those stories. So the key in any contract, of course, is being able to clearly describe the extent of works, and so that the contractor knows what's expected of them. So there are. It might sound a simple process to maintenance grade a road, but there are various factors. You know, are we talking about a medium grade or a heavy grade? How far does a grader operator need to put the blade into the road? Is it 50 millimetres or 100 millimetres? Do they time? Those things are covered in the contract specification. We need to pay particular attention to drainage and the width of the road. So it's not simply a matter of paying a contractor based on length of road graded. There are other factors, the width, number of mitre drains. So we just don't want to have a focus on grading a kilometre. We want to make sure that focus is on drainage and fixing that up. And as you say, we don't want any graders you know, digging into the sub-base.
Madam? Question? Motion, those in favour? Carried unanimously. Item 20, review of regional road classifications. Can I move up? Councillor Lewis. Second to Councillor Hill. Item. Councillor Lewis.
Hey, Mr. Mayor, I'd love to see Beanie Road taken over by the state, because there's one person lives on that road and about 200 vehicles go along there a day, and I haven't got a traffic count. I might be exaggerating a little bit, but it's very, very well used. Shortcut from the Mandoran Road down to the Dunedoo Road or Golden Highway or whatever, and our maintenance grades last about 3 or 4 days and the surface is gone. It's a road that needs a heck of a lot of money spending on it. It's an unfair burden on taxpayers when there's only one ratepayer lives on it.
That's a Shire road, that one, not a regional road.
Yeah, we'll change it to give it away.
Mr. Ty, I think there's a hint there for you on that one.
Might need a new bridge as well.
Mm-hmm. Just if I may, Mr. Mayor, since preparing this report, I've had conversations with adjoining councils and actually with the policy advisor to the panel who's doing the review. As the recommendation is to have a report to the September council meeting, but feeling more comfortable, I suppose, about council's position and what it needs to do, I think there's an opportunity here for council to promote some roads as state roads, and there's some good reasons for doing so, but we just. Yeah, it'll come out, but the benefits need to be identified, and suggesting that a road be promoted as a state road to receive more funding is probably not one of the benefits they're looking for. But I think it's a process that obviously council needs to engage in.
Addressing this item. I spoke to Wendy Matson about this, and she said it may be able to put Shire Roads into it too. Motion. I put the motion.
For you, Mr. Mayor?
Yeah. Right. Yes.
I think we need more information from the state government on whether council gets the work on the roads if they're moved over to state. Because if we don't get the work, then that presents a scale and capacity issue for us going forward. But if they don't take them on, if we choose not to hand over specific roads, are they still going to continue with funding as they are now? We need those answers to make an informed decision. I had this discussion with the general manager on Tuesday.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. The stated purpose, and it was given to me again today, of this review is to lighten the burden on councils that might be struggling to maintain regional roads. And there is certain, there's a recognition that any change shouldn't detract from regional jobs. So the other opportunity for council is to engage in the process, but put a submission in, but make it conditional that income to council is not diminished as a result of the review.
Carried unanimously.
Mr. Mayor, that takes us to item number 24. 21 through 23 have been dealt with.
Item 24, Inland Rail Report. Councillor Chin. Seconder. Question is item. Brian, can you give us any information on this?
Just what's in the report.
Motion. Those in favour?
Okay.
Carried unanimously. Item 25, review of Warrumbugger Waste, Yuri Mambray Transfer Station. Mover. Councillor Clancy, Councillor Brady. Councillor Doolan, I mean.
Lois, through you, Mr. Mayor, I was going to nominate an alternative recommendation that we can move it in second and then change it. Can we, General Manager?
Certainly may.
Well, I was just going to say we would move away from option one and go to option two. Being we'd close the transfer station on Wednesdays, but still open it on Saturdays and move to the hole in the wall.
Adam.
I think if I could just continue there for a second, Mr. Mayor, I think the management are to be congratulated on looking how to run the business of council more efficiently than we currently are. We all know the state of the finances around the council, so we can't ignore the fact that we have to run the place, as I was saying, more efficiently. I think option two identifies savings of $9,000, which is a 25% cut in the running costs, and I think if all of the arms of the business ran could achieve a 25% cost efficiency, I think that would result in millions of dollars of profit for the council, and I think that's not what we're about. We're not running the place as to run a profit. We just need to be running, not running at a loss. So I think if we move to option two, being that the transfer station is still open on the Saturday so that people could bring their large items on, like fencing wire and stuff, that could be delivered there on the Saturday. If the wall was open for people to drop their bags of waste in there 7 days a week, I think the people of that area would get probably a slightly enhanced service than what they've got now, and then the council would benefit by trimming its operating costs by the $9,000 or 25% in this case. So I think it's a win for everybody.
There's only one thing wrong with this.
I'll second it.
There's only one thing wrong with that. Every other little town will want one too. And second to councillor.
Well, be that as it may, Mr. Mayor, that's we just dealing the cards we've got tonight, and that's to say at the cross country course, Councillor Shinton, you take that jump when we get to it. So we'll worry about that when that comes to us. So just with the what's in front of us tonight, I think that's a reasonable compromise. I don't know what everyone else thinks, but.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. Yeah, no, reading the letters, I think that we've underestimated the area slightly. To close it, we've been working on the fact that, what was it, a 10-kilometre radius or something like that?
As far as the letters were concerned, it was a 10-kilometre radius, but in addition to that, there were ads placed in the local newspaper and on Facebook. Was there anything else done, Ms. Ryan?
I want to add that when we looked at the property assessments where we've come up with the number there of 143, just to clarify this for councillors, we actually consider the localities of Ewell and Ambrose, Hurley Wharf, Brooks's Road, Napier Lane and Boomerang. So with the 10K road, that would sort of drop a pin on the transfer station and draw a circle around it. So that would have picked up some of the properties that were close to the Coonabarabran. But, when we went out and looked at the property assessments, we went further to the east. So if that, gives a bit more clarification, there it is.
Yes, it's. I can remember when we used to live at the end of Napier Lane, that was our local tip in those days. And speaking to people who live in that area east, further east of Pearly War, there's a number of people who, on a trip to do their shopping, use the Ewell Mambry drop-off centre. So, I agree with you, but I think we should monitor it just to see if putting the holes in the wall is doing the job, because there are still people who want to drop the bulkier items. Just reading from the fellow who put in his what's your name? The fellow who had the big input. He was saying that a lot of people on the Wednesday, because it is a working day for farmers as well. Some of them like to take the weekend off and perhaps keep an eye on whether there are bulkier items wanting to be dropped off on that Wednesday, because we are taking that service away. So I think we should just. I agree wholeheartedly with what's been proposed, but I would. I'd like to see that we monitor it for at least 6 months to see if there's not a greater demand there than we think there is. That's all it is.
Yeah, Mr. Mayor, I'll go back to the days when Neil Rex and Wee Talabar and Mary Gowan and other small centres had a tip. And what we found was when we started to regulate the tips, people were coming from a long way away, like to Neil Rex especially, which is a close association with, to dump rubbish, especially farmers, fencing material and chemical drums and so on and so forth. What the farmers don't want to do from Coonabarabran's east is come through Coonabarabran with a load of waste because they're frightened of the constabulary. They'd rather go to a local tip, and I'm sure you'll find that if they don't go to Yulamambra, they're going to turn down Brooks's Road and go to Binaway, so you're not going to achieve anything. I wholeheartedly support Ambrose and keeping the tip open of a Saturday for that reason. And as Mr. Miguel, or whatever his name is, letter here says, Sam Miguel, there were a lot of people responded and there are a lot of people use it. And at the end of the day, we're here to provide a service. I know we've got to do it efficiently, but we are here to provide a service. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
I believe we've got to have it designed properly with not too big a holes, so they can't put real big stuff in, but we need about three skip bins in place to do it, I think, because that's about how much rubbish a week goes to Yulamambra.
Why is Yulamambra any different to any other tip? We've still got all the farmers, north and south, who would... Oh, sorry. Farmers north and south or any other area in the Shire. So why is Yulamambra treated any differently to anywhere else? Or why is it needed to be?
Comments on that?
Sorry.
It's not a question I can answer. I think that's one for the councillors to be dealing with.
Councillor, got any... To Councillor Hill's response?
Luck of the game.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, so do you mean why is it being closed?
No, I'm just saying everybody sort of thinks that, well, people seem to think that we just should have these tips in the larger towns, which we do have. So why is it going to be different closing Yulamambra? Why should Yulamambra area be treated any differently? Why can't people from the Yulamambra area bring their stuff into Coonabarabran, whether they like it or they don't?
Probably the reason is that Yulamambra stayed there because it was, I think it was the Hall Committee years ago, they used to run it for council. And it's a bit like the gardens in Barradoon and Binaway, that they got their $5,000 to look after the gardens, and so council doesn't do that work at all. In Yulamambra, the Hall Committee were trying to raise money, so they had a roster and they used to open the tip and close it. But as time went on, less and less people took it up, but the facility stayed. And then all of a sudden, council took it over. But, of course, there is that option to offer it back if there's still a committee like that in existence at Yulamambra, but that's the history of the place.
What happened? OK. Thank you.
OK.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Votes on this item. I'll put the motion item two. Those in favour?
Voting for the amendment.
What are we voting for?
As I stand it, understand it, councillors, the motion is at this point in time that council, one, notes the information in the review, etc., and two, uses option two of the report as far as Yulamambra facility is concerned.
Carried unanimously. Item 26, development applications. Got a mover? Councillor Hill, Councillor Clancy. On these items. Motion. Those in favour? Unanimously. Okay. Item 27. Reports to be considered in closed council.
Yes, Mr. Mayor, items to be considered in closed council. The first one there is item 27.1, which is Zoo Organisational Development Monthly Report, a recommendation for it to be considered in closed council under 10A2A of the Local Government Act.
Mover. Mover, Councillor Shenton. Councillor Clancy. Motion. Those in favour? Councillor Hill. Carried unanimously.
Next is item 27.2, Three Rivers Regional Retirement Community Information Report, a recommendation there for it to be considered in closed council under 10A2G of the Local Government Act.
Mover, Councillor Hill. Second, Councillor Lewis. Favour. You against, carried unanimously.
Next is item 27.3, which is a supply and deliver bitumen sealing aggregates. A recommendation for it to be considered in closed council under 10A2D of the Local Government Act.
Carried unanimously. I'll put the motion. Carried unanimously.
Sorry, Mr. Mayor, who was the seconder? Mr. Mayor, there's a further recommendation there that council now go into closed council to consider the business, etc. Members of the public be excluded.
Councillor Nursey, second to Councillor Lewis. Closed council.
Alrighty, thank you. Sorry, Mr. Mayor, we're not dealing with that particular item now. Could I suggest that you give us a call in the morning?
This is also a withdrawal of the
table. If you can give me a call in the morning. A phone call in the morning. I'm happy to take it.
Yeah. No, we can't take it now because we're in closed. We got moved into closed council.
Recording has stopped.
I think you might be referring to the community consultation meeting as opposed to the last council meeting.
Possibly.
Yep.
We can't do it just now. We should have been come up at the forum before the meeting.
Just coming out of closed council, item 27.1, which is the Organisational Development Monthly Report. It was resolved that the Organisational Development Monthly Report for August 2020 be noted for information. Item number 27.2, which is the Three Rivers Regional Retirement Community Information Report. The resolution of Council was that Council endorse the actions as outlined in the report in relation to the Three Rivers Regional Retirement Community Project. And in relation to item 27.3, supply and deliver bitumen sealing aggregates, the resolution of council was that this matter be deferred for consideration at the September council meeting.
Being no further business, I'll declare the meeting closed at 7:00 p.m. Thank you, everybody, for coming.